Well, thank the Lord. My thought tonight is somewhat along the line of Sister Cecilia's birth. And I would that each person would have that desire and that pursuit as part of their daily walk of life. I thought just a little bit ago that Sister Catherine Williams, when she would come to Wichita, she used to tell us as young people, keep your life clear.
Yes.
And we heard what she said, but I don't think we really thought very deeply about what it really meant. But as we've gotten older, we've come to find out that that was really about the best advice you could hear.
Yes.
And it's a great undertaking. It's a great pursuit. And really, it's one that must be accomplished.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with a God who sees it all.
Yeah.
And we're really exposed before Him. Now, I could do some things, and perhaps none of you would ever see them. But as I've gotten older, I'm persuaded that somebody, somewhere amongst God's people, would sense the difference.
Oh, yes.
And they may not be able to put their hand on it and say exactly what it is, but they could sense that.
Yes, that's right.
And I've heard young people say, well, we slipped and did this, and my parents, they didn't know, but we can talk about it now because we're too old to get spanked. Well, I have found that sometimes the parents kind of knew what was going on. They just didn't say anything about it. And they perhaps had learned that sometimes you just kind of need to wait until the Lord administers the punishment. And then point it out to them then. But as we go along the way, we're kind of like Adam and Eve were in the garden. They're in the third chapter, Genesis, the sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this instance, they were caught in their wrong. Once they committed this, they knew what they had done. And they knew at that point that they were naked. They were exposed. They were not sufficiently covered. They took steps to try to cover themselves, but it wasn't sufficient. It took God to do that.
Yeah.
As we go through this life, many times we are much more naked and exposed than we realize.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think we have things hid, but we don't. And as I mentioned this morning, I sometimes wonder, I feel like maybe I think too much. But it's hard for me not to. But I've pondered from time to time, and I've watched. And you see those that encounter sufferings like some are now. And I find that that has a way of peeling off a lot of things to where people begin to get serious about dealing with the Lord.
Yeah.
But even in that, I have found that there are some times where perhaps the person isn't quite as serious about it as they ought to be. the puzzling part to me about that is that when you come to see it, why do we not do something about it? Adam and Eve saw it. They tried to do something, but they didn't have the right approach. But the right approach is, even as the burden was expressed tonight, to seek God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To recognize where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've pondered too. You've heard people make the expression about the dirty old man. Well, he didn't become that way when he was old.
Mm-hmm.
He was that way when he or she was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's grown to that stage. Now, that's pretty easy for people to see. But take a step back. When we go along this pathway of life, we can get in some places that are kind of like that. We don't see it that way because maybe we don't think along those kind of veins that dirty old man or that woman thinks about. But my point is that the principle is still the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just in a little different arena.
Yeah.
And you have seen it. We have seen it. Where sometimes people get up in age and
mm-hmm.
now things begin to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one real young sister saw something and she was like, well, I thought they were this way, and
mm-hmm.
they're different. They're not what I thought. And I consider that, and I look at it in a couple of ways. One, you and I still have to allow people to be human, because that's what they are.
Amen.
And in light of that, then we must, instead of talking so much about how surprised we are, just pray for them that the Lord will help them out.
Yeah.
Not from a condescending point of view, but from a compassionate point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, you look at that and then you think, well, I don't want to be that way when I get there, so what am I doing right now?
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to determine what I am when I get to be 80, 85, 90, 95 years old. When we consider that, it really brings out how you and I should be working from our youth up.
Yes.
To grow old gracefully means we have to be graceful in our youth. We have to be graceful in our middle age. And in all honesty, that is what we are supposed to be.
That's
partly why I keep saying this salvation will change you and me.
Yes.
Because if we really have the kind of concern about projecting the real example and the life of Christ, then He's going to have to change us to do that.
Yeah.
And it will get in some very deep and close places.
Yeah.
It is easy, and I listen. And I've watched, you see it anywhere, I've heard it on the job. You can see how different ones can pass judgment upon someone. Well, they don't know this, and they're an idiot, and they're the other. And maybe that person has been put in a place of leadership and authority. And I've thought time and time again, but if you ever get into that place, what is it going to be like for you? Because it's different when you have to be the responsible person for what all is going on and what all is happening. And as you look upon it, you see how things are. We have a situation where one man is kind of a young man, but he's been a journeyman lineman for about 5 or 6 years, I've heard. But he just seems to think the foreman doesn't know anything. But yet I've considered, well, you've only been a journeyman for so long. Well, where'd you get all of this knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there have been some things that he has told me. Now, they don't know that I have a degree in engineering. That's not something that I've felt I needed to say anything about.
Yeah.
So as I've listened to him, sometimes he's told me some things and I thought, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be a lineman to understand that. That's not right. But I'll humor him, and well, if that's the way he wants it done, and it's not going to hurt anybody, then I can deal with that. And we'll just go along with it that way. And then you'll find maybe later on somebody will question, well, why did you do it like that? Well, that's the way it was requested. Oh, well, all right. But you could tell they didn't think that was the way it should have been done either. So you begin to see that, well, while the person is sitting in judgment of the one, the foreman, yet they're not really addressing themselves. And others can see that and have made comment about that. So it's likewise the same for us spiritually. The real purpose of salvation is for you and me to work on ourselves.
Yes, yes.
And if we're all seeking God and really endeavoring to be what He would want us to be, He's then able to take all of those individuals and their effort and put them together and connect them together and cause it to be a unified body. But we can have a complacency. We can have a slothfulness. We can have a dullness and a blindness where we don't really pursue that while we're young.
Right. Yeah.
And then when we get old, as my father used to tell us, you can't hide it and it doesn't get better. It gets worse.
Yeah.
So may the Lord help us. You know, I've listened to others as we were growing up, and I've listened to some of the young people, and you realize that they kind of look and they say, well, I don't want to be like that when I'm old. And then I've looked at others and thought, you know, I'd like to have that kind of spirit. That person has a gentle spirit. I'm talking about an older, elderly saint. And you can see that even when you're around them and you listen to them talk, it's like you gain inspiration, you gain energy, you gain something from them. You feel blessed that you were able to just hear them talk a little bit. Maybe they didn't say anything profound, but it's just something about it coming from someone who has been through some of the experiences of life and have seen some things. And yet, you notice their carefulness. You notice their determination to keep pressing on. You notice the blessing in their life, and you think, I want that.
Yeah.
But we must work towards that now as we go along the way. And one of those ways is to realize that I'm exposed before God. I'm exposed really before the people of God. I just don't know exactly to what degree. And it's not so much for us to know that, because that's not the main focus. The main focus for us is to keep working and to keep striving and endeavor to really seek God and what He has for us. Even as I mentioned the other night, when you look at Jacob, you look at Paul, you look at Peter, and some of them that seemingly had a great fall, or they marred in the hands of the Lord in some kind of way, and it made no difference as to how it came about. You know, someone mentioned to me, well, they all didn't come the same way. Well, that's true, but that's the point. It doesn't matter which way it comes. It doesn't matter what your lot in life is and what mine is. We can be in a place where we do not become what God wants us to become. But what you see in all of those people is that they had something about them that they desired God. And that is what enabled them to be remade by God, where He could utilize them in a way that they were a blessing to others. Jacob was a scheming man, but somehow he wanted to serve God, and he made vows. Peter thought he was a strong man in the Lord, and he found out how weak he was, but it said he went out and wept bitterly, and I still have to believe he sought God in that weeping, and in that seeking, God was able to bring him back.
That's right.
And work with him and cause him to be a real pillar in the church of God. And so the point in all of that is that now is the time where we should seek to have that awe of the Lord. We should seek to have that sensitivity towards God, that if we find ourselves failing in trial or test, may not go way out there in sin, but just to realize I didn't quite come through it, I'm sensitive enough to that I begin to seek God. Lord, help me. I want to please you in every way. I want a life that you can look upon and speak with approval. I want to be in a place as much as I can be where you can speak about me to Satan as you spoke about Job. Not to be lifted up, not to be on display. May not ever be put out in display like Job was, but I want to be in that place where you are pleased and satisfied. And it takes us realizing that he can see it all. And so we need to work towards getting it all cleared away.
Yeah.
First Chronicles, the 28th chapter, starting with verse 8. Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. When I look at this, I consider the admonition that David gave his son. But the thought here is that he told him in the sight of Israel, in the sight of the Lord, he said, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God. Be in that place where you are continually seeking, reassessing. I was reading once and one writer spoke and he said you should check your heart two or three times a day, he said, to see if you have become disquieted before God. If you're worrying about something way too much or being over anxious with care or whatever the trial or test may be. He was saying check yourself. See, are you in that place? And if so, seek to get out of that place and stay in an area where you can be in rest before God. Well, he's telling him here, seek him and all his commandments. And we are to address ourselves. We are to seek God in reference to ourselves. And Lord, what am I doing? How am I doing? What is it that you want me to do as far as exhibiting the character and the principles of Christ? I am amazed at how many times people want to get out and do the things in front of everybody. And Lord only knows, I wish I could go just the opposite way. But you know something? It's not about that. That's many times not what people see. What they see is what the burden was expressed. How are you working? And then when they can say, well, do you remember when I had the victory over that a long time ago? That doesn't bother me anymore. And move on from there. And don't you know that is a blessing to others when they look on? Because how many of you have found if somebody's attacking you, or you're in some kind of trial or test, have you found that the loved ones around you can get offended about that?
Yes,
they do. Yes. And so a part of their protection is for us to get that victory to where they can see, well, it doesn't even bother you.
That's right.
And then you can say, well, if it's not bothering me, why are you worried about it? Let it go. It's time to move on to something else. But if we keep holding it, they keep holding it. Now we're all hindered. That's not what God wants for us as we go along in this day and time. So it's really a 24/7 job to seek God. Lord, help me. Sister Catherine used to tell us a lot, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now I'm finding out more about what she's talking about as we go along the way, because I find myself saying, Lord, there's so many other burdens to pray for. There's so many other things to be concerned about. And Lord, I still find myself saying, you got to help me. And you think, Paul said he was the chief among sinners. He said, Lord, I must be one of the most needy one of your creatures. But Lord, help me anyhow. May the Lord help us. This is a God who understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. He understands the source of it. He understands the intent, the motives, everything about it. And sometimes even I have thought like the disciples when they said, well, who can be saved? And the psalmist said, who can stand in God's holy hill? I can see why they came to those conclusions, because when you consider that everything is so exposed before God, you just about have to ask, Lord, how can I stand before you? Mm-hmm. Only way I can is you have to help me in every single way. My approach, everything that comes forth, Lord, you've got to help me. And you know something else? You never know when you're going to be on display. You never know when you're going to be called into question. Friday, we got a call from a person out of New Mexico. And they said they were in Barstow. And they were coming and they wanted to talk to us. And I don't quite know exactly how they got a hold of my name. I do know that they had met and been in service once with the Browns there in New Mexico. But I don't know how often they've met, or if it doesn't sound like it's happened very much, but they even told us they got our name from somebody in Fresno. But when I mentioned some of the names I thought they might have gotten it from, those seem to have been unfamiliar names to them. So I'm not sure how they got a hold of us, but they said they wanted to come. So we told them how to get from Barstow to our place, and they came. And they said and asked my wife and I questions from about a little after noon till after 6 o'clock. Now, I was good and tired when they left. But they said they're seeking for the real church of God. And they wanted to know if we felt we were a part of it. And they had their questions to ask, and they told us a little bit about their background. And then they asked some other questions about some of the things. And in fact, at one point, they started asking my wife questions. They had about five or six, wanted to know if she did certain things. And thank the Lord, she could answer no to all of them. And they expressed some of their concerns and what they had come to see with the Lord dealing with them and what movement they've come out of. And they went on their way, and they were headed to another stop to see what was going on up there, and I guess make a determination somewhere along the way as to where they thought God's people were. And I found out that they had been to Guthrie, to the publishing house, just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that the young lady expressed to us, she said, well, we noticed a certain gentleness when we were there in Guthrie, and we've noticed it here in talking with you all. So I thought, well, thank the Lord for that, because I thought we kind of like being on put to the test, and Lord, help us to pass the test. So you never know, and we had never met these people before, and they told us, well, thank you for letting us come in, because for all you know, we could have been murderers. And yes, that's true, but you never know when you'll be called to give an answer. And you want to be able to present Christ. And I don't know what they concluded altogether about their meeting with us. They didn't really say what all they thought, and we didn't try to question them. You just felt like, well, Lord, if they're searching, help them to find the real place. And help them to find their place, and we'll just leave it to Him to work it out. But it shows us that we need to keep seeking God to obey all His commandments. And you know that calls for us to be a loving and a compassionate people, a forgiving people, a people of inspiration and hope. It calls for all of that. And as we go along this way of life, to be in a place where the Lord can touch us, and it be a blessing to someone else along the way.
May the Lord help us is our prayer. When we look upon it, we have to consider that we are serving a God who sees all and who knows all and is able to discern all. And when you consider it, well, there's just no escaping. There's just no way to get around Him. I might can fool you for a little bit of time. But as I said earlier, I'm convinced that somebody or somewhere will sense, all right, there's something different. And you know, I've seen that even as young people, with some of the ministers even, where somebody amongst them say, you know, there's something different about the preaching now. And it's like, oh, I thought it was just me. And I figured there was something wrong with me. And you still had to wonder, well, maybe they see what I see, but they see it wrong, you know. But yet as time went on, you begin to recognize some things. And it's helped me to see that no matter how hard we try to hide some things, we're a lot more exposed than we realize.
Yeah.
And just because it's kind of like that story, you know, about the emperor with no clothes. And all of the adults didn't want to say he didn't have any clothes on. So they was trying to talk and imagine like, okay, there must be something there and I don't see it, but this other person sees it, so I won't say I don't see anything. And finally that little child hollers out, he doesn't have any clothes on. Well, it's that way with us spiritually. That people may not come along and say, you don't have any clothes on spiritually. It doesn't mean that somebody won't speak up. And at the very least, the Holy Spirit, and it's really the Holy Spirit's job to speak to us and say, you're exposed in this area, and you need to cover up. And when I say that, I don't mean hide something, but to get the proper place there in the Lord to where we have what we need to have, whether it's victory over something, whether it's more patience, a greater depth of love, whatever it is he points out, we are to get that. And have that on hand and have it working in our lives. And we are to seek for that even in our youth. May the Lord help us. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 9th verse. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can stop right there. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The point here is that God's word, which is accompanied by the Holy Spirit, is able to divide asunder soul and spirit. Now, our soul is influenced and affected by our spirit. What we lean towards, what we follow after. If we go out in sin, it's affected by that. If we follow God, it's affected by that. But you know, sometimes we can just say, well, this is me and it's the way I am. But he's saying right here that he is able by his word and spirit to cut through all of that and to separate that which is mortal from that which is immortal and that which is not right from that which is right. And he's able to deal with you and me to where even if it is me and my personality, his word and spirit can cut that off if that's not what he wants. And he can change that and give you and me his personality, his spirit, to where we can exhibit what a child of God is able to exhibit. So there's really no excuse to say that I'm just this way and you can't change me, because his spirit can cut it off if that's what it needs to do. That's what he's getting to here, that we have no excuse. And he furthers the illustration where you and I can get a hold of, because it's kind of hard to grasp, for people to grasp soul and spirit. That's
right.
Mystical and kind of mysterious and kind of out there. But to get the point even across further, he said, to the dividing of the joints and the marrow. We got an idea of what that is. And he's saying his word could pierce to the very innermost part of man, and he can separate that which needs to be separated. So the real function there and the real purpose is for us to realize, I can come to him for help for any and everything that affects me, everything about me, and I can't sit and say, this has just been in my family for hundreds of years. All that really says is, for hundreds of years, our families have not applied themselves to God in this sharpened two-edged sword to have the dividing asunder of that which needed to be cut off to where it wouldn't affect further generations when they come along. That's really what that says. So you and I are able to recognize that he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, you can't discern my thoughts altogether, except by some of my actions. And I can't do that with you. And sometimes people want to hide behind that. I've run into that. But you know, God didn't intend for the ministers and the gospel workers to be able to just see everything in you. They can't handle that. That's not for them to handle. It's for you and God to handle. And the end result is that he has given his word to help us to see, if we'll come to him. You talk about precision and skilled, and you know, some of these doctors sometimes say we have to take some of the good with the bad. God doesn't have to do that. He can get right down and cut it right off at the fine line and say, all of this here I don't need. Now, let me heal you and give you what I want you to have. And he's able to do that. And the end result is that others will see the change. Others will see the growth. And sometimes we won't see it ourselves. And it's not so much that we ought to see how much we're growing, but to just keep growing and keep going. And let others see it as we go along the way. God is able to do that and to help us. And if we realize that we're naked before him, if we realize that we can come before him, we can get what we need in our daily walk of life. Because that's really where it is all at. It's not by making some great proclamation before hundreds and hundreds of people, although God does use some to do that. It's really where you and I touch lives here and there. As the songwriter said, let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the way. You and I are to do that by the Lord's help as we go along this pathway of life. Finally, in Revelation, the third chapter, 14th verse, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Obviously, this church was not quite meeting God's standard and requirements. And he gives them this warning. But the part that I was considering there is that they felt like, we're doing all right. We have need of nothing. And he said, you're miserable, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, you're naked. Now he saw it altogether different than they did. And my point is not that
we are naked and poor and blind and wretched and all of that. That's not the point. The point is this, that he told them, counseled them to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And I see that as faith. A real exercising of faith in God. And all that comes with it. The person that has faith in God has a love for God. Has a desire to walk with God. Doesn't want to pursue the things of the world. Doesn't want anything to separate them from God. He told them to buy raiment, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Holy garments. Garments of holiness. Righteousness and salvation. And to do this so that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear.
Right.
Well, when do you want it to appear?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want it to appear at all.
That's right.
And that means consistently all through your life and
yes.
life. As young people, as middle-aged people, as elderly people, we can all exhibit the grace of God to where someone can view that life and say, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to have that kind of spirit, that kind of gentleness, that kind of love, that kind of compassion for others as we go along the way. And he's telling them to buy that. How would they buy that? By giving themselves over, even as David told Solomon, seek the Lord and all his commandments. Now, you know, that's where a lot of times we get into trouble. Because everybody wants to determine what is God's commandments and what do I have to do and what do I not have to do. That's really the wrong approach. That already says I'm looking
right.
to find out where can I sit down.
Right.
That does not say all the way, as the songwriter said. But he told Solomon, seek God and all his commandments.
Yes.
Go all the way, Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
All the way. Even though it may not seem like a wise man such as you should rely upon religion, he said, go all the way. That is what you and I are to do. Follow him all the way. And realize that he'll rebuke us. He'll chasten us. He'll whip us, if you want to put it that way, from time to time. But he said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. In other words, be wholly into doing whatever it has to be right with God, and keep following that path. When you and I do that, we'll come out in a wealthy place.
Yeah.
We'll come out with holy garments.
Yes.
And that's when, as the sister was saying, they'll say, well, don't you remember? It's old. I've gone on beyond that years ago.
That's right.
Didn't you realize that? And some of them will realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will maybe bring it back to you because they realize it, but they're really wondering, how did you get that? Because I would have said thus and thus, or I would have done so and so. And they're wondering, well, how did you get there? Now you have a chance
yes.
to tell them how to buy some of those holy garments.
Yes.
How to get that gold that has been tried by fire. It's been
yes.
proven that it works as you go along the way. And that it will keep you in the midst of whatever it is that you get. You know, I was telling my brother the other day. I said, you know, I was thinking back when my father was sick and he had some failings. And he was in the hospital. My wife went to visit him. She was by herself. And he told her, when I get out of here, I'm going to get straight.
Oh my.
Now, I don't know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I never did see him pray. But I can tell you this much. When he had to come back through there again,
mm-hmm.
it was altogether different.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell my sisters, I said, look, my brothers, I said, he showed us
mm-hmm.
how to live, and then he showed us how to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I look at that now and I think, you know, I told him the other day, I said, I'm looking at other things as I've gone along over the years, and I realized that we didn't realize the depths of whatever it was he did to get in that place. He got there, and at that point, others would say, well, this or that, but he didn't want man's help. But the thing I took note of is I know he was in pain, but you never heard him hardly even groan. He might, the only time sometimes when my sister and I would try to turn him, you think, well, are we hurting him? And the only way you could tell is if you could see his face, you might see his nose crinkle up just a little bit. Then we figure, okay, this you know, we got to be careful here as much as we possibly can. But you know, God has something for us. If we would seek it, we can exhibit that before we get to that point. Then when you get into the trial or the test that crushes you, instead of people hearing the ouch and the oh, woe is me and whatever else we might have to say to kind of get them off of us, they'll just maybe see you wince a little bit spiritually, but all they'll be able to smell is the fragrance of God's love and His compassion. That's really where we want to be. That's what we should exhibit as we go along this pathway of life. But each one of us has to have that desire, Lord, because when we get there, you cannot muscle up faith and love. It just won't happen. This is something that when you get to that place later on in life, if you're able to exhibit it then, you have been exhibiting it consistently and steadfastly in your life as you came up the road to that point. And you know, sometimes people have questioned, well, it seems like they're doing this or that. What are we going to do? We're going to support them. Because you don't know how God will work through the rest of that. We didn't know how the Lord would work through what happened with our father. And some people even asked us, well, how are you all praying? And my sisters told them, we're not praying for the Lord to heal him. We're just praying for him to be right with God in the way that God's pleased with. And he came through in a way that I look at now and I still have to wonder, well, could I do that? Well, you won't get to that point and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You and I have to start laboring now and have that attitude of heart that I'll reassess and I'll look and I'll seek God and I'll ask the Lord to help me to find out and I'll fast and I'll pray and I'll do whatever it takes. And then, as He begins to impart that and plant those seeds, I'll endeavor to nurture them and cause them to grow. And when I do that, by the Lord's help, I have something on hand to help me to go through. But not only then, even now, be able to go through in a way that others can see the life of Christ. And then they can see the beauty in it. They can see the wisdom in it. They can see the strength in it. They can see the power that's working. And now they begin to recognize something that draws them. Pray for me that I'll do the same.